Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji Country as BBM Bumrabib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, you mob? All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. All right, the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award Office Australia is a national organisation focused on supporting young people to thrive. They collaborate with a network of Duke of Ed partners and volunteers, including schools, organisations, governments and businesses, to support Australian young people meet new challenges, gain important life skills and realise their potential. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Peter Kay, AMESM, Duke of Ed CEO, and we have Peter on the line. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Very well, thank you.
Welcome to the program. And where are you based, Peter?
I'm based in Sydney, but I'm in Parliament House, Canberra at the moment.
Okay. In the big house. All right. Thank you very much.
In the big house. That's right.
So enlighten us. The Duke of Edinburgh's International Award Office Australia, the ignorance, but I haven't heard of the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award Office Australia. So paint the picture for us, please, my friend.
Yeah. Okay. So the Duke of Edinburgh's award started over 60 years ago, and clear from the name, it started in the UK, but it's being used in over 130 countries, so it's gone well beyond the UK, Commonwealth, etc. So, you know, we have more recent countries using the Duke of Ed would include everything from China to Bulgaria, you know, a lot of Eastern European countries. And when I say using the Duke of Ed, what it is for the listeners, the Duke of Ed is not something young people do, but it's something they use. It's a framework, a four-part framework that helps young people organise their activities, their non-formal education activities in a balanced way, and then have those activities accredited and recognised internationally.
So we're talking life skills with a certificate, so to speak.
You got it. You got it. So you've got your mainstream education that results in a formal education qualification, and the Duke of Edinburgh is the international equivalent for non-formal education. So that's exactly what it is.
Fantastic. And so this program, is it in our curriculum? Is it in our schools, is it?
Yeah, look, it is in schools. And increasingly so.
Yes.
And when I say it's increasingly so, it's, you know, it's been around in Australia for over 60 years, but the last 5 years in particular, we've seen a really substantial growth of interest, and that's come from more and more demand by employers and from TAFE and universities for evidence of non-formal education. In other words, they want to see evidence that young people have gone just beyond the classroom learning and have built up core life skills in a very deliberate, you know, goal-oriented way.
Peter, an affirmation just came to my mind, and the affirmation is, it's your attitude, not your aptitude, that will determine your altitude in life. This would be, thank you, this would be the certificate virtually confirming that. So you are good, you got the education, you got the skills, you got the, you finished your grade 12, you passed in honours in regarding science and maths and what have you, but how's your thinking? How's your thinking? You know, how's your attitude? And this program you're talking about, fantastic, it gives you a piece of paper certificate. I think that just throws more meat on the bone in regard to who you really are, which is great.
Yeah, it does. And the No one expected the Duke of Ed when it was created, you know, all those years ago, that it'd still be operating today, let alone being more relevant today than it was back in the 50s. But what's made it more relevant, the design of it, it says to a young person, do something that's about improving your mental and physical well-being, typically a sport. Do something that's about improving your wider core life skills, you know, so we used to call those hobbies and interests, but do them in a more deliberate way. Do some volunteering, give to your community, and then take on a team challenge. Go and do an overnight activity with a small group of people that's personally challenging. And the other feature is that these activities are done over time, so it's not something you can do over a weekend or a week away or during the school holidays. You know, we're talking a minimum 12 weeks and typically, you know, 6-9 months. And as young people select the activities, because the Duke of Ed doesn't tell them what to do, that's decided at the school level or the youth organisation level or the PCYC level, they determine what activities are available and what interests the young people. And they set a personal goal, and it's all about PBs, personal bests.
Fantastic. Well, it helps you stretch as a as an individual. Is this open for boys and girls, Peter?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking year nine.
Okay.
We're talking 13, 14-year-olds. 90% use the framework during school, but it's available to up to their 25. So if they continue on and they want to come in as young adults, more than welcome. But, you know, substantially the opportunities are typically at school. And they can take on three levels of challenge named bronze, silver and gold. And each one just progressively becomes more personal. So by the time they're doing a goal, the activity selection and the goals they set for themselves are a lot more individual, whereas, say, at the beginning of the bronze, they're doing a lot more group activity. You know, they're working through things with their friends, typically.
Look, it's fantastic. The other hat I wear, Peter, motivational speaker, and something I do on the side and what have you, of everything else that I do. I just got a desire to inspire, love life and what have you, and I love sharing that with people. I've always said that this information should be a subject in the curriculum, and that's what I'm picking up here with the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award Office, you know, to what it delivers the program. This should be templated. Do your maths, do your science, but do your life skills as well. I think it's so very important.
Yeah, Trevor, look, you're spot on. It's always been positioned as a parallel stream. Many schools that do take it on usually offer it in a sort of a club, just like you have the chess club or the debating group, you know, you have the Duke of Ed. But what we're now seeing around Australia is schools increasingly offering it to all their year nine. So they're embedding it into their year nine, and they're saying, hey, give this a go. It's helped you build up your CV.
Yes.
And the Duke of Ed also digitally accredits. So it's, these days it's not just a piece of paper, they're actually receiving a micro-credential for each of the four sections they complete. And that sort of contemporary way of recognising completion in the form of that digital micro-credential is more and more being sought after by, again, employers and the higher education sector. Yeah.
Fantastic. So, Peter, the presenters themselves, are they teachers or are they presenters from the offices, so to speak, that comes in?
No,
classroom?
Okay.
How's it work?
Look, good question, because it exposes how we operate. So a school gets licensed to offer the framework to their students.
Yeah.
Each of the activities the school identifies as being that they'd like to suggest or make available, they find a local subject matter expert and they act as mentors or, so for example, someone wants to do public speaking and they know that you're interested and available, they might approach you and say, we've got 15 students that want to do public speaking.
Right.
Would you be their mentor for the Duke of Ed assessment?
Sure. So that person would be, if not a professional. So is that a procurement? Is that a business opportunity, a business invoice, so to speak, in regard to delivery?
Oh, look, the majority of them do it voluntarily.
Okay, thank you. To give you
an indication, Trevor, we have 62,000 such people in Australia.
Okay, beautiful, yeah.
Right, so there's this huge group of people that put their hand up and say, I'm happy to show people a bit about welding, or I'm happy to do a bit of coding or whatever it might be. And the volunteering is often done in the community and it's done through existing organisations. So we've got more and more students being encouraged and directed to look at volunteering that might interest them and help
them,
you know, develop as well. So in many ways, the Duke of Ed acts as a bit of a pipeline to support, you know, be it the, you know, emergency services volunteering or be it the local, you know, environment project.
Look, I'm becoming a big fan. I think it's fantastic. And this should be templated across this country in all schools, I feel.
Yeah, well, thanks for the encouragement. Yeah. And certainly we know in Queensland, in Queensland, the Department of Education actually holds the master licence.
Okay.
So, you know, we encourage any of your listeners that are involved with the various schools and the communities that you reach.
Yes.
If the school is not offering the Duke of Ed, contact the Department of Education. They have full-time staff that just work on the Duke of Ed.
Okay, fantastic.
And say, right, we want more information. We want our school to access this framework. And, I know the Director General is right behind it. The former minister, the new Minister of Education are right behind it.
Yep.
He reached out within a week of being sworn in as minister and rang me and said, right, just want to let you know we're going to keep the momentum
good.
Up on this.
Beautiful, beautiful. So how do people contact the office?
Yeah, look, the best way, the old favourite these days, go on the website, Dukeofed, dukeofed.com.au, and the contacts are all on there, or the Department of Education, Brisbane's head office.
Beautiful. Thank you very much for sharing, Peter. All the best to you. You have a great day. Thanks for sharing. I think
Brilliant.
It's fantastic.
Thanks, Trevor.
Bye-bye. Cheers. Beautiful yarn there. Peter Kay, his name is AMESM, Duke of Ed CEO. So the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award Office and of Australia. It's a national organisation, as Peter did mention. It's operating in over 60-odd countries around the world. So it looked fantastic. And you get a certificate out of it all. And it's just life skills, learning about life. And like I said, it should be in the curriculum, it is in the curriculum. It's possible to be in the curriculum if you reach out and make the contact. Like I said, you learn about maths and science, what have you. But how's your thinking? How's your vision for your future? How's your communication skills? How's your love for yourself? You know, that sort of stuff. That should be in the curriculum, point blank, left, right and centre, through all schools, and help our young ones get rid of the stinking thinking and get their focus on life and loving that person in the mirror and all that sort of stuff. That is a big, deadly investment. So there's my input for that. So fantastic. And here I am at National Talk Black with your daily program at Bumba Bipa Media. And we're live here for the Talk Black program. You can have your say. Call that number, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Yana with the Bully on here. Trevor Tim, Trindy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Acknowledge my mob, my father's side, One Year Gunga Leader. That's the Dumuji Mountain Island way. And born in the Curry, Murray from the Curry, and my beautiful mother with me in spirit, Darnley Island, Erib. And was born in Cairns, and they went to Cairns High, Mum, so, so beautiful. And look, love to all my family, and look, have you saying Yana Strong. And I want to give a big shout out to Forum W, Torres Strait Island, mentioned them, who've joined us now, I think coming up to about a month now regarding the program. And you mob up there in Torres Strait can have your say as well. You're going to talk about what's happening on your island or happening with your organisation. All ears here. Big shout out to AFL House. I know a lot of Torres Strait Island kids go to the boarding school here in Cairns at the girls' hostel and the boys' hostel, AFL houses, they call, and had their graduation the other night at the Pullman Hotel, very deadly. I think we had about 15 grade 12s graduate, and that's so very important. Then I also went to the Jarrigan College in regard to their summit 2024. Big shout out to Sister Alison Halliday, who organised that, and I got to hear the main man there, Mr. Pearson, Noel Pearson, who spoke at the opening. He talked about the importance of education, and our deadly black kids should be finishing grade 12 and getting that that graduation and then going on to further education, yes, but if not, finish grade 12. And we had 15 kids graduate from the AFL house, so that was deadly. Too deadly, fantastic. So that's what it's all about, your mob. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? All is here on your daily program, National Talk Black.
On the track.
I ain't never felt like this before. Heartbeat racing while I'm staring at the floor. Forgot if I ain't felt like this before. Mind still racing while I'm running out the door. Yet I'm scared. cross my mind. I can't make this even if I try. You got me so terrified. I'd rather be lonely than have another man to show me.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our national talk track, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Won't you? We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor. Murray from the Curry, call in on 1-800-422-416-98.7 FM BBM.
Thinking about uni or TAFE, but unsure what study will be like? You're not alone. Plenty of our mob found the course they want and the support they were looking for at CQ University. Thanks to campus locations across the country, as well as dedicated Indigenous support staff who are there to welcome, guide, and listen. See it, be it. We know you can. Start your journey at CQ Uni today.
Station sponsor.
Have you heard about the Territory Stolen Generations Redress Scheme?
It's for mob who were taken from family and community when they were kids.
The Stolen Generations in the Northern Territory, the ACT, or Jervis Bay.
It's acknowledgement and payment for survivors to help with healing.
You can apply right now or just find out more. Call 1-800-566-111.
Or visit territoriesredress.gov.au.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Station sponsor.
It's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yana with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebeep Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All ears here for your yarn, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Now, a fruitful partnership to boost bush food. How's this sound? Shared vision to boost Australia's Indigenous-led bush food industry is the key to the partnership between the University of Queensland and Rugenic, which makes products with Australian plants that have nutritional and health properties. The partnership incorporates research from the ARC Training Centre for Uniquely Australian Foods on the properties of leaves and fruits like Kakadu plum, Gubinj or Jilungjin, and wattle seed sourced primarily from Indigenous communities and small farms. Look, we're down to catch up again with Professor Yasmina Saltaboa, ARC Training Centre for Uniquely Australian Foods Director, and we have Professor Yasmina on the line. Professor, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Where are you based?
I'm based in Brisbane.
In Brisbane. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming to the program. And look, collaboration, talking about working with Indigenous communities. And yes. That in itself is a good ingredient when you're mixing different cultures together. And then we're talking about bush tuck and what have you. So paint the picture in regard to the fruitful partnership to boost bush food.
Yes. So I'm based at the University of Queensland and... Mm-hmm. I'm a food scientist by profession, and I have worked with Indigenous communities across Northern Australia for the past 15 years.
Okay.
And what is really important for me is these trusted partnerships that we have formed with the communities and some of the industry partners that we are working with, and that is what I really wanted to speak about today, Trevor.
Thank you. Fantastic. I noticed a bit of an accent there. We say to mob, who you mob, where you're from. Who's Professor Yasmina Saltaboa? Who are you? Where do you come from?
Okay. I'm originally from Sri Lanka. So I migrated to Australia in 2007. And since then, I've been at the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries. And then I moved to the University of Queensland.
And when you say professor, in what field, Yasmina?
In food science.
In food science. Well, there you go.
Yes.
Hence the nice partnership now you have with our Indigenous bush food industry. Fantastic.
Yes.
So tell us about your connection and what have you got in play, and are we taking this further in regarding schools, education, university, and if not, into the workforce, restaurants, businesses, yes?
Yes, all big questions, Trevor. So we actually, when I was working in Sri Lanka, I used to work with the fisheries community, And I realized the importance of the science that underpins a lot of the work that we did.
Yes.
And when I came to Australia, I really was missing that community engagement till I really
yes.
had the fortune of working with Indigenous communities in Northern Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So like in the Dalley River, in the Wadai community, and in Nullanbai. And what I found was that the chemistry and the food science that I knew, I thought I should look at nutritional properties, of course, with the invitation of the community for
yes.
me to visit them.
Protocol.
And I found that they were really nutrient-rich and nutrient-dense, and they are, in comparison to conventional fruits like blueberries, the antioxidant levels are much higher.
Yes.
And that really made me think, what are the economic benefits that can come into communities if we can really develop these bush food enterprises?
I'm picking up the fact, Professor. Yes, you are a professor, but when you're dealing with that mob there, you became a student.
we are students for life, are we not?
You know.
I am a student. I learn much more than I can ever give. So you're 100% correct.
Exactly, exactly. So the communication has been fantastic, and it has created a nice space. When you talk about the longest living culture on planet Earth, we are the longest living culture on planet because we know how to survive, we know how to live, and of course we're talking nutritional food, we're talking hunting and gathering. So that in itself is an encyclopedia, is it not?
Of course, you are the best. I think it's the most resilient culture that I have seen, and the generosity in sharing knowledge and
yes.
the languages that you speak, it's just amazing. Mm. There's so much for us to learn and for the world to learn, and I really admire that 65,000 years of knowledge has been seen in community. And the community is really, I work with family-owned businesses because I think that's where the creation and the innovation is.
Yes.
And also, they are the groups that really don't get any funding from the government because they're family-owned businesses.
Sure, exactly. When the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. So here you are as a professor coming to the table, and but then you're being active with it, and you're engaging, and now you're creating a beautiful space, a vehicle, so to speak, which helps yourself, but helps university, helps ARC Training Centre for Uniquely Australian Foods, and it helps people in regarding delivering and sharing. Like I said, protocol, getting permission to do so as well. All that comes into play. So it's a nice, partnership in more ways than one, yes.
Yes, yes. And what happens there is I also think that in addition to economic benefits for communities, it's about the place, the location they're in, the plants and the people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have industry partners who could be non-Indigenous who come to work with us, we see whether they have the same values as us. And then when some of these industries have been introduced to us by communities to continue the research that we are doing, but you must have that market pull for economic benefits to go back into communities.
Exactly.
And now our enterprises have got together and formed a cooperative, which is very exciting, which is known as the Bush Foods and Bush Tucker Indigenous Enterprise Cooperative, which is 100% Indigenous-owned and led cooperative.
Yes.
And I think that is going to be amazing because this cooperative can bring all these enterprises together and really develop some platforms, like they are doing a native food ledger where you can look at the traceability of these supply chains and really talk about provenance and authenticity. Mm. And then any buyer who wants to buy can be assured with the certification mark that this is coming from a community and really trace it back. So I think that's going to be a very powerful tool.
Good.
And I wish that a lot of the growers, indigenous growers and processors would really contact BBIC to understand how they can be a part of this, because I think if you can develop an app and really be able to have your products on one platform, then it's almost like other people can come and buy it, but they also know that they're getting the authentic product.
Look, we're talking about creating jobs and, if not, business opportunities, but also for First Nation people to step into the tertiary education as well.
Of course, of course.
Opens up a lot of doors.
Yes, so I'm very excited that we are building our critical mass of Indigenous academics and students. So, as you know, when you talk about social science or education, public health or medicine, you get a lot of Indigenous students who are in those fields. Mm-hmm. But when you talk of agriculture and food, we don't have many PhD students in that area.
Yeah, yes.
But now we are getting more students, and that's really good. And we're getting academics in this area. So my hope for the future is that the research that we have created will be taken over by the Indigenous academics, and they can work in partnership with us.
Beautiful. That's a good vision. So when you're talking about First Nation people sharing their culture, sharing their bush food, their bush tucker, and then turning into education, if not businesses, job opportunities, you could say it's a powerful ingredient in more ways than one.
I like the pun. That's perfect.
Yeah, pardon the pun, but so fantastic, yeah. So when you tell us a bit about ARC Training Centre for Uniquely Australian Foods.
So the Australian Research Council Training Centre was actually, we got the funding in 2019, we have got 10 PhD students, but we had 20 who came in as associates, so almost 30 students have been trained.
Yes.
And this was very interesting because we had Indigenous PhD students at the latter stage. At the beginning, I couldn't recruit a lot, Trevor, but at the end, I did, and I'm very happy about that.
Good.
But we also had a lot of international PhD students who came from different cultures, and now they have gone back home, and they are learning about their foods that they wouldn't have studied. So actually Australia and the Indigenous communities were an inspiration for them to go back home and explore the plants that they have, that they would
follow. And then we're talking about the communication with their elders back in their own communities and with their people, you know. And that's how we've always survived as First Nation people, longest living culture on planet. We share our knowledges passed on to our children. Therefore, it lasts forever. And sometimes it's hidden. We cannot see the rainforest because the trees are in the way, Professor.
Exactly. And the generosity that you're showing, whenever I go into communities, they're like, learn about these things. Good. You know, they're so generous in sharing their knowledge. And my thing is like, how can globally also people can gain from this? But we should also make sure that the communities itself get some benefits back for all the generosity that they have. So we protect their intellectual property and ensure that they have access and benefits. We ensure that outreach programs reach the school children. So we find that school children are a good source of building the future generation. And we have gone to schools and we've given some of the bush foods, and non-Indigenous students just love it.
Yeah, beautiful. And look, it's a two-way street. I mean, you're talking about the First Nation people sharing their culture. So if we're not talking about a business transaction, monetary, but the cultural side of it as well, I mean, that's also very important, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So for me, language is very important. And I think I go to communities and the children are speaking about four or five languages, and I'm in awe. And I think I'm pretty useless because I speak about two or three, but English would be
This is Indian woman talking her language. That's beautiful.
So I think they're very, the kids are so smart, Trevor, it's unbelievable.
Of course they are. Yes, they are. Yes.
Yes.
Fantastic. And look, how do people see what you're doing? Do you have a web page, or does the ARC have a web page?
Yes, if you put Uniquely Australian Foods and just Google it, the ARC web page would come up. And please go and have a look at the work that we do. And if you need any support or help, just contact us.
Sure. We always say, as First Nation people, if you want to know anything, just go and talk to Auntie Google. So check out Auntie Google, check out ARC, A-R-C, Training Centre for Uniquely Australian Foods, and you'll get all the information. You'll be able to witness Professor Yasmina, the work that you're doing there, working with our mob.
Yes.
Fantastic opportunity.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you very much for sharing, and all the best. And so how often do you get out to community doing all the stuff?
Cool.
Or do the First Nation people go to the ARC Training Centre? I mean, is it a two-way street?
It's a two-way street.
Yeah, good.
So I just returned from Broome. So
okay.
Maybe October 21st, I arrived in Broome, and we went right up to Kununurra with one of my communities. I visited other communities. We did, like, I think, 1,500 kilometers of country.
It sounds like you've been adopted, my sister. You're part of the family now.
There's so much more to do.
Yeah,
so I'm very
excited,
and I really want Indigenous academics
and
more Indigenous PhD students to join us. So,
beautiful.
And then build this group, Critical Mass, and then that would it would be their turn then to take over.
Yeah, beautiful. Exactly. Hand the baton over. Look, it's a fantastic.
Yes.
I open up with the conversation with the title, the statement, a fruitful partnership to boost bush food.
Yes.
And you're doing exactly that, Professor. Great talking with you. Thank you for sharing. And look, all the best to your team. Say hello to the mob when you catch up with them.
Okay.
And we will yarn soon, Professor.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Good yarn. All the best. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn. Professor Yasmina Saltabawa is her name, ARC Training Centre for Uniquely Australian Foods Director, and a fruitful partnership to boost bush food. So working with the mob there on country, there Western Australia and up the coast, and look fantastic. And it's a fantastic way of community start growing for businesses and scaling up. So where it begins a research, so communication there's a Indigenous woman from overseas in regarding India, and she's a professor here, but working close with the mob, saw the opportunity, a love, a passion for food is what she studied, and a professor of, and of course, why not go to the professors of the world when you're talking about the longest living culture on planet Earth. Too deadly, beautiful. Have you seen Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black.
Forest, yeah, eating only wild berries and fruit.
Hey, why?
When we could walk about in our rainforest, yeah. When we could walk about, then people talk about. Ndara jene no wangara jene na baroji jene na pulgoro jene. Ndara jene no wangara. From Jabagai, Imeni Yabawawa,
Squawk Turkey,
hey, why? They are the protectors of these rainforests of North Queensland, yeah. And when they go walk about, then people talk about. Ndara jine no wangara jine na baroji jine na pulgoro jine. Dry from Jabagai and Bulwine.
Miss me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Island magic, drop a one, I give it to you. Baby, you be kissing me with fabulous looks.
That's the reason why I be fall for you. I only love my love you to rule.
You give me love, that's what you do. And if love is a crime, I'm a criminal. I would break every rules for you. But I never got time, cause my time is for you.
My love is your love, baby. She don't need a Gucci bag or fanny. Baby, give me butterflies in my belly.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Curtin University and Dockers collaboration showcases traditional storytelling through tech. Indigenous Fremantle Dockers past players have collaborated with researchers from Curtin University Faculty of Humanities to present powerful stories to identify community and cultural connection through creative expression. With the catch of a yarn there with Mandy Downing, Curtin University Dean of Indigenous Futures, and we have Mandy on the line. Mandy, good morning. How are you?
Yes, good morning. I'm Kaya from Wajaknunga Budja.
Too deadly, my sister. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Yeah, I have maternal lineage to the Nelima Injibadi people of the Roeburn region, but I'm actually living and working on Wajaknunga Budja at Curtin University.
All right, beautiful. And big shout out to you, mob. Thank you very much for coming, and thank you for coming to the program. So talking about a collaboration showcasing traditional storytelling through tech. So explain what's going on there. Fantastic. Please, Mandy.
Yeah, well, this is sort of part of my role at Curtin as the Dean of Indigenous Futures there. Mm-hmm. We've had a long-running partnership with the Fremantle Football Club.
Good.
And Fremantle, they don't have a lot of statistics, but one that they do have is a remarkable AFL record where Frio have had at least one Indigenous player take the field during an AFL match over a 30-year.
Look, fantastic. And football is the vehicle, so to speak. But anyway, we can get black successes, by all means, yes.
Absolutely. Mm. So to me, this is what we describe as reconciliation.
Okay.
This is what we believe in for our people is we need more action and less talk.
Mm.
So we thought we would work together with Fremantle to try and come up with a way to celebrate some of these stories from these past Indigenous players with the club.
And when you say stories, are we talking about the individual, the players themselves, about their journey to success and playing AFL and their
Absolutely.
Life and their mob and all that, like the holistic stories, so to speak, of the individual, yes?
Absolutely. Because these are the things that we need to hear. I think these are the things that unite us as people, and that's only, as far as I'm concerned, good for society and good for all of us. So we've got multiple projects, and a large factor of it was around building relationships, so that relational aspect of normalising us working together and yarning and listening to each other's stories to come up with something for each player, which really does celebrate their journey, their story, their legacy with the club.
And it creates a platform for young ones. You can't be what you can't see. You know, and
Absolutely.
Inspiration for the young ones. And even if you're not using football as your vehicle, but then going to university, maybe that's, maybe become a doctor, maybe starting your own business. Inspiration in all forms.
Absolutely. And I think also this is research in itself.
Yes.
I'm from the Faculty of Humanities, so we have things like journalism, creative writing, arts, human rights, loads of different things. But what we know we're good at is telling stories.
Yeah.
And so obviously working together with Mob, Mob are,
Exactly.
born storytellers.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what we do.
And you can't beat black on black as well when you're talking about our mob, dealing with our mob and motivating and inspiring our mob. And that in itself is the best ingredient too.
Absolutely. So we've got about four different projects that we've managed to pull together with past players.
Yes.
So we've got a podcast that's been developed between Troy Cook and Dr. Glenn Greensmith from journalism.
Good.
And Troy does reflect a lot on personal growth, community.
Former Fremantle player, yep.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
We've also got one project that I'm particularly proud of because it involves the Curtin student in fine art, which is Cassandra Edwards, who's a Gamilaroi woman.
Yes.
And she's teamed up with Dr. Corrine Eli Harper and former AFLW player Alicia Jazz.
Good. So men and women, and fantastic.
Of course.
Yes,
we
yes,
to.
Yes. We have to. That's right. Men's business, women's business,
women
all then. Success. That's right.
And they, Cass has been doing a lot of work around virtual reality and immersive experiences. So she's worked with Alicia in developing, recreating an experience of Alicia's of a welcome to country that she received on here on country.
Yeah.
So you put on the VR goggles and it's like you're there at the time when it's happening and you're alongside Alicia, and it's quite a unique experience to have shared with everyone. And then we've also got a couple more, which we've got John Curtin Professor, Distinguished Professor Kim Scott, and Jeffrey Farmer, have worked together with some elders that have come, we brought up from community, and some young ones from Clontarf in...
Gee, array of people from all different areas, young and old, professional, non-professional, elders, you know. It's a beautiful platform. Fantastic.
It is, and it really is about that unity and sharing stories and,
exactly.
I guess, truth-telling.
Yep.
You know, it's a lovely platform where we can all learn together.
Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing. Big shout-out to the mob there and all the mob there, Curtin University, doing a fantastic job. Thank you for sharing, Mandy. Please do keep in touch. And thank you for sharing. Fantastic.
Great. Thanks so much.
You keep smiling. You take care, and we'll yarn soon, sister.
Thanks. Put on.
Okay, bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. Mandy Downing, her name is. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black.
It's easier than saying it's complicated, and I hear you loud and clear when you say I'm overreacting, just sick of you asking me over and over, then tell me it's over when I say it's complicated. Avec tes belles paroles, quand personne n'écoute discrètement, tu m'avoues.